Good morning, everyone. We'll call this funding meeting to order, the CIB, for October 1st, 2025. Thanks for everyone that woke up early and traveled in from rural Utah, different corners of the state. We're wearing pink ribbon today in honor of breast cancer awareness. Shout out to all the breast cancer survivors and everyone going through breast cancer currently. And thank you, Commissioner Adams, for supplying the ribbon. And Christine Adams in the back, who's a breast cancer survivor. Thank you, Christine. We'll start off with welcome and introductions. And we'll start down at this end of the table with Commissioner Bartholomew.
Commissioner Scott Bartholomew from San Pete, representing R6.
With a full mouth of food, Laura Hansen, representing the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Mayor Dean Baker, and I represent Uinta County.
Kurt Slaw, Deputy State Treasurer, representing the Office of the State Treasurer.
Brooke McCarrick, Utah Attorney General's Office.
Curtis Wells, appointed Chairman, representing rural Utah.
Commissioner Greg Miles, representing Duchesne County.
And Bill Winfield, representing CERDA.
Morning, my name is Bruce Adams, former County Commissioner. I now represent UDOT.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner, representing Sevier County.
Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
All right, thank you. Up next, item two for our briefing. We'll start with our financial. Oh, that's right. We have Commissioner Taylor, who we should be giving a really hard time because he's joining us online via the Bahamas. And we really, really don't appreciate that, Commissioner.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Well-deserved vacation, I'm sure. I'll invite Kaylee up, and we'll go through our financial review, please. Morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so the financials today, again, it's the same story. Same story as every time you have enough money in total, but you don't have enough money in grant. You did good last time. You did really good, but you still need to shave off $72,000, and I'm going to just call it $100,000 because that's a clean, even number. So you need to move $100,000 from what's being presented to you today as grants over to an interest-bearing loan so it can come out of the bonus fund. If you were to fund everything today, you'd have $10 million available in the bonus fund next trimester, which would all be carry-in for loans only. So you would have zero carry-in next trimester as grants.
Kaylee, does that include the special consideration?
It does include the special consideration, yes.
Thank you.
As requested.
Yes.
Excellent. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, item three, we have the approval of minutes from the September 4th review meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Motion made by Commissioner Winfield, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved. You know, I thought my recommendation to the board, let me know what you think, is to determine where we're going to move our money around so then we can just go through and work through our approvals rather efficiently. How does everyone feel about that?
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Rather than just jumping right in.
And it obviously it'll just be a discussion, but we'll know when we get to that project that we're going to, you know, make that adjustment to make it all work. So I'll open it up for discussion on ideas where we can make that adjustment. In my review with staff, we looked at where some of the more significant grant is being given. Obviously, not singling anybody out, but just looking at where we're given significant grant. And that is, we've got Ballard City, Fruitland, Wellington, Farron. So those are some ideas where we could, you know, make that adjustment. But I'll turn it over for board discussion and recommendation.
Those are all producing counties as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Some level.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but if I were to choose between those three, I'd probably choose Wellington, looking at the size and the scope of the project that they have, and also knowing that they're not a top mineral producer. I don't know, various factors, I think you could argue.
Wellington County.
I mean, well, let's see, Wellington's down there by Price, right?
Carbon County.
So it is. I mean, it's up there. It's not like it's a non. Those are all producing counties for sure.
How much money are we trying to adjust? About 100,000?
100,000.
Just move 100,000
from grant to loan.
What about, you know, you named three counties that were getting large amounts of grant. What if we divided that 100,000 amongst those three?
Just
softer like blow.
Not material.
They've already got blown in their mix.
Everybody but Ballard. We wouldn't want to do anything to Ballard.
No way.
So important.
Loans need to be in increments of 1,000. Just remember that, because this is the issuance of bonds. So you can divide it up, but please don't divide it up in hundreds.
You're the money man. We'll do what you want to do.
Okay.
I'm going to say with Kurt, I'm kind of with it, because I looked at that being more, and I thought 100,000, that's not much. They're already taking on, you know, pretty good grant money. And
right. No,
yeah.
I don't think that makes a big difference to the project.
No.
So who are you going to pick up?
I'd be supportive of that.
Wellington?
So there's.
Glad I got a backup finally.
Well, I just remind you that Carbon County was the number two producer for probably 10 years, 20 years.
They've been hurt.
They didn't come and get a lot of money during those years. They put a lot of money in.
Right.
But didn't take a lot of money out.
Well, we're still giving them over $7 million in grants.
Hey, they haven't broke even yet, Kirk.
So your recommendation, Bruce, is to just split it evenly between the producers?
I think it'd be a softer blow for them. They kind of come expecting to get what we've already.
So
what would that be? 30,000, 33,000?
Well, one of the producers pulled out, UN Water Conservancy. The 4 million.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Cause we,
were they
I
from,
sit on that
were they
board.
From Uinta County?
Yeah.
That's Uinta County, because we could not take on any more loan. We just did a $30 million project on a 3-mile piece of pipe that's over all our heads, and
nope.
We just felt like there was no way we could get sucked into that.
And you guys need it because...
And we need it.
Because, you know, the Basin Rail project coming.
Yeah,
you know,
for
that's
water.
Gonna demand.
There's no way to move loan money into the grant fund to cover the 100. Is that right, Laura?
You can't
transfer out of there.
Go the other way, but not that way.
Well, I've got a list of exceptions.
Don't look at me. I don't make the rules.
We all make the rules.
That was 4 million total. That was
well, they asked for 4 million, came back 1.4 million in loan, 2.6 if I remember right in grant, but we couldn't take on that 1.4 million.
Yeah.
We absolutely for 30 years.
Yeah. They're not considered in the final
list. Yeah,
day.
It's not in there.
It's
we
not on our
out.
List today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd face a bigger problem
bigger
today.
So
yeah.
That
would be cutting people.
It's already been cut.
Yeah, one thing's already UNA County
on the
pulled
pending.
Out.
They put themselves
you know,
on the pending.
They're on the pending, so that money's
might
being
come
held.
Back next
on the
Friday.
Pending. On the pending, does that mean that money's being held out?
We'd really be
no.
We'd
no.
really be in a
Chairman?
Tough spot if we showed up today with all the projects we approved in the review meeting.
Right.
Which I do want to say I think is a tough thing because then we're inviting everybody back for the funding meeting to get someone's going to get shellacked, and I just think we've got to be better in our review meetings. I really do. But
I wonder if Kurt needs to hear from Wellington.
Well. How about
sure.
let's make
That's
a how about let's so there's a comment to split it three ways. There's a comment to split it four ways between producers at $25,000 apiece.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that and move forward and get everybody out of here?
I'll make that motion.
What's the motion?
Just a discussion. No motion. Just a discussion. Just a head nod. So
four
ways. So four ways between Ballard, Fruitland.
Well, Ballard can't take one. If we're going to give them $25,000.
Let's see.
Well, it would be one of those, what do you call it?
Yeah. I wouldn't do just a $25,000 loan and the rest grant to Ballard. That
no.
doesn't make sense.
No,
it doesn't.
You have supplemental also that
yeah,
not
that,
I mean,
Ballard has no loan. You can't give them a $25,000 loan.
I mean, you could also throw in Farron, you know. I was thinking the agricultural center is a little bit of a marginal project anyway. So.
What about, I don't know, on the special consideration, if we want to have a vote to bring them into the mix, don't we need to do that? And then supplemental requests typically don't change because they stay with the same.
You can, though, because the bond hasn't been issued.
On the supplementals?
Yeah.
And as well as the special consideration, we do have to vote to get them on the table, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Why aren't we looking at those as well?
Sounds like we are now, Jay.
I'll make a motion to bring Tickaboo and Monroe, 8-1 and 8-2, to the table to hear.
Tickaboo isn't asking for any money. There's no money at play. With Tickaboo.
What are they asking for?
For approval to decommission some generators you bought, but they will continue paying on the loan.
But they want to move.
They need board approval because they still hold the loan. It's not extra money.
But we can vote to bring them to the table at least with for now for the purposes of trying to figure out where to move money. So the motion's on the table.
But we're not going to pull any money from them.
Why aren't we?
Why?
Well, maybe
why
not. I'm just bringing them both on for efficiency, but Monroe's the other one.
Yeah, Monroe is an emergency thing they hadn't planned on. They've already got a lot of skin in the game with their own in-kind labor and work, and it's an emergency with their water.
And they're asking for all grants, so
yeah,
I don't know that that's a place to put a little bit of loan.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm fine. You know, having the discussion now, but I don't think it's going to solve our problem. I don't think we're going to look to those communities.
So here's
our problem.
Kind of solution. What if we took Wellington for 50, we're 100,000 short, so 50,000 and Farron 50,000. And move them from to loan.
There's four projects that have big grants and big loans. You got Fruitland, Neola, Wellington, and Farron.
Yeah. Let's just do $25,000. Sounds good.
So, and the reason Ballard didn't come in because it was three entities. Who would I guess you?
Well, Ballard's all grant. We can't give them a $25,000.
Right. That's why they did that because that was they've already got their skin in the game.
Okay.
They put a lot of money in.
Well, they're not on the table.
Well, we wouldn't be.
I think they should be off
the
table.
They're not on the table.
They are. They are.
Okay, head nod on that. So that's $25,000 that's being moved from grant to loan on Fruitland, Neola, Wellington, and Farron. Head nods?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good?
I'm good.
What?
That'd be good.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that four of them?
Four.
Which one?
Fruitland, Neola, Wellington, and Farron. Okay, so do I have a motion, item 4-1, do I have a motion to approve the Ballard City New Road Corridor Project for $3,264,000 in grant?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Hansen.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Winfield, sorry.
Dean missed it.
What's that?
Whatever. Yeah. I'm good.
Discussion on that motion?
Is Ballard City here or their representative?
Do we need to talk to her?
I have a Ballard question.
We took Ballard out, wasn't it?
I've got a question on maintenance of the project. Because it includes Duchesne County. So
okay. Do we have any representatives from the Ballard City project here this morning?
Online.
Could you bring them over?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Ben Mauer with Ballard City.
I just had one question. I don't think it was discussed in the review meeting. Who's planning on maintaining this section of road once it's completed?
That discussion has actually not been had yet, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Does it need to be tabled?
Different jurisdictions.
Well, the reason I bring it up is we have three or four land ownerships in this project, and just curious. It's cumbersome for the county to send a snow plow, 4 or 5 miles out of its way to plow a quarter mile stretch of road. And so I was just curious whether Roosevelt City and Ballard had worked that out on who was going to plow and maintain the road.
I'm sure we can. We do that in other areas of the communities. It makes no sense for Duchesne County plow to get there. So between Roosevelt City and Ballard, that will be accommodated.
Thank you.
Okay. Call for a roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
Motion is to fund as requested.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Aye.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Congratulations to Ballard City. Up next, we're looking for a motion for Fruitland Special Service District for 2.25 in total, which would be $1,825,000 in grant, $425,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the Mill Hollow Water Treatment and Water Acquisition.
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Commissioner Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Treasurer Slaw. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes with the chairman abstaining.
I think I said yes, too.
Oh. Commissioner Lytle, I have you marked, but...
You read his mind.
I'm good.
Okay. Next... we have the Neola Water and Sewer District looking for a motion
for $3,600,000.
We need exemptions.
Okay.
Were the exemptions already when we did it?
Yeah.
When the motions were made, will they
carry
over?
Over?
Yes, please.
Okay. Unless otherwise stated.
The motion for NEOLA we're looking for is $3,256,000 in grant, $387,000 in loan, 30 years at 1% for well and distribution improvements.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion made by Ms. Hansen, seconded by Commissioner Miles. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
He's got an umbrella in his drink and he's preoccupied. Commissioner? He's surfing.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion carries with Commissioner Taylor under an umbrella.
Aye.
Oh, there you go.
Takes a long time for your signals to come across.
Oh, there he is. Yeah.
It was a long way to the bomb.
Well, he's got a skim board out. So up next we have item 4.4, Wellington City. Motion is for $7,150,000 total with $5,100,000 in grant, $2,025,000 in loan, 30 years at 0.5% for administration and public safety building, a much needed project for Wellington.
So I think the figure would be $5,125,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse
yes,
me.
In grant.
That's correct. Yeah. Thank you.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Seeing none, call for a vote, please.
Curtis, I don't think it matters, but I'm just going to make a technical comment.
Okay.
On these that we're adding 25,000, the total should be increased by 25,000. Is that right?
No.
No.
No, we're just moving
just
to grant.
We're
moving
one shift. Side to the other.
So shifting up from grant?
One column to the other.
Okay, so the total is still
same. Same. It's just okay. Losing grant.
Yeah.
Motion made by Commissioner Miles, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion carries with the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Up next is the Farron City Municipal Building Authority for a rebuild of their agricultural center. We're looking for a motion for $2,475,000 in grant, $525,000 in loan. Excuse me.
So I'll make a motion.
Moved by Commissioner Winfield, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. That gets us through our hurdle. Item 4.6, the town of Dutch John, requesting $612,750 in grant for a fire station EMS building remodel.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Ms. Hansen. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
This is to fund as placed on the priority list as a $612,750 grant. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
All right, congratulations. Item 4-7, the Town of Junction, requesting a $1,750,000 grant for a road improvement project.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Commissioner Brown.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Lido?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Congratulations, Town of Junction. Up next, we have throughput on the agenda. I don't have anything to discuss on throughput. Has someone requested throughput? No. Up next is our supplemental requests. Item 7, 7.1 Beaver City, requesting $1,256,000 with $754,000 in grant, $502,000 in loan, 30 years at 2%.
They're here.
Okay. Do we want to welcome them to the board?
Yes.
Come on up. And they didn't bring Tammy Pearson with them, so they're not strong on us. That's good.
Well, they're Beaver City, so they may.
Good morning.
Morning.
Before we start, we'd like to, you know, express our gratitude for the partnership that we've had with CIB over the years. You know, with CIB's support, we've been able to complete some critical utility projects that otherwise would have been unobtainable. So we recognize that and we appreciate that. Today we're coming before you. My name is Monty Hawkins, by the way. I'm the city manager there in Beaver. Today we're coming before you to request supplemental funding for our wastewater project, specifically related to our sewer lagoons, and to discuss an issue that was discovered recently during construction that was unaware to the city prior to construction. And we're here to discuss that. Carson DeMille from Jones and DeMille is here to kind of go over those additional expenses that came up during that construction discovery. So.
Sure.
Good morning. I'm Matt Robinson, Beaver City Mayor.
Carson DeMille with Jones and DeMille Engineering.
And Marcus Keller with Cruzen Associates, advisor to the city.
So yeah, I'll just briefly bring you up to speed. We are utilizing a design assist process on this project, and we had the contractor go in to investigate the existing liners on two of the Beaver lagoon cells to see what it would take to rehab those liners. And once they excavated the liners, we found there are no liners on two of the existing lagoon cells. So we had old plans from the project, and every understanding we had that there was a liner there, there's not. And so we have to haul a significant amount of clay in to build a liner that's not there. And Beaver County is not known for their sources of clay, so it has to come from a pretty significant distance, and it increased the cost of the project significantly. That's something that was not anticipated. So that's the main reason for the supplemental funding request.
Thank you. Questions for the applicant?
I have one, because I can remember when you guys came in and wanted it. You had one or two of the lagoons that you had never used, and as you said, the weeds had grown up through the liner and all that. We questioned you then, why didn't you flip back and forth and use them instead of letting one go down? So are you trying to rehabilitate those ones you let sit down? Is it one or two?
So, yeah, the two liners that you're referring to, we were aware they were dry and that the liners needed to be rehabilitated for that reason. Those are the ones that we got into to investigate and found there are no liners in those specific. Those there are two. There's six sales total. Those two were done at a later date, and those are the ones with the issue.
No liner.
There's no liner.
No liner put in them.
Yeah.
Feels like whoever constructed those, maybe we could go back to them and say, hey, these weren't built properly, and see if you can recoup some costs that way. I don't know if that's a possibility, but
I've asked our city attorney that same question.
Yeah.
I had the same thought, and he advised me that it's probably too late
too
for
late.
That.
Mm-hmm. Bummer.
It's probably been, I think, over 20 years.
25
years.
Yeah,
25
years.
That's too bad.
Do we know who it was that constructed them?
Yeah.
I actually don't know who the contractor was.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Well, they know or could find out.
We could find out. I don't know who the original
contractor was.
Do you, Carson?
Pete knows who it was. I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the company. It wasn't one I was familiar with.
We don't need to publicly shame them here.
Yeah.
But it is, it's good to know that things need to be done.
Keep going, Kurt.
Why not? Yeah, we had a lot of discussions on that topic.
I think that's the least we
should
do, Tom. Okay.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Please do.
I move that we fund the supplemental funds as requested.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hansen to fund as requested, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Discussion on the motion.
I just have maybe one more question. So you're taking on an additional $2.7 million in loan at 2%. And as I recall, we usually place the loan right up to the point where you say you can't take any more loan. And so explain where the funds are going to come from to repay that additional $2.7 million loan.
So that's a great question. So we've run the numbers as far as the coverage goes. So the 2.7 kind of kept them a nice range, about a 1.5 times coverage. With the additional $500,000, it's putting them really close to that 1.25, which is the minimum coverage required by CIB. So with this additional $500,000, roughly 502 request of loan, that's going to get them right there before they have to start making some unforeseen rate increases. So right now they can still stick to their plans. They're going to be doing a rate study at the latter end of this year, but right now they're in a good spot, or at least to keep their minimum required coverage by CIB with the additional 502 on top of it. The 2.78 kind of gave them a little wiggle room there. So,
and I can comment a little too. We're probably 2/3 of the way through our rate study with Chris Lund of UFS, so that information is forthcoming.
Okay, and how do your sewer rates compare to state averages right now? You know, or
22. Currently, they're at $22 a month.
Okay, so that's cheap, right? That's fairly cheap. So you guys probably have some room to do some rate increases, right?
Yeah.
The council is fully anticipating at the conclusion of the rate study that we'll have increases. We'll have an adjustment to make.
Okay.
We don't think it's going to be caused due to this project, but for future projects, their rates will be going up to cover those future projects.
Okay.
Kurt, it sounds to me like they need a little more grant.
Too bad. We're half out.
Well, in order to be fair, we probably should have had them participate in the $100,000 that we just made everybody else take in.
Someone might have brought that up.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
I thought that was what Kurt was getting at.
Yes. You know me. I just have a big heart.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to understand that because I do know that, you know, we do like to push people to take as much loan as possible, but, you know, anyway. It sounds like we're going to make it work. So.
Yeah.
Okay, motion on the floor to approve as requested. Further discussion?
It's within the range.
Yes,
I'll make a motion to approve it at the requested amount, 30 years at 2%.
That's already.
We've got it. A motion on the table already.
Oh.
It was first by
Ms. Hansen.
Who was the second?
Seconded by Commissioner Winfield.
This was discussion. I'm sorry.
I'll call for the vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
I'll vote yes, and if Kaylee can find a little more grant money, maybe they want to come back. And
Okay.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Okay, up next we have we'll welcome the Austin Community Special Service District up to the table.
Everybody who's leaving, have you signed in, please? Please sign in.
Yep. I forgot to remind everyone to please sign in. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Shannon Heaps, the chairperson of the Austin Special Service District. Here to ask for additional funding on the project. I really appreciate working with the CIB and the project that we've got going on now. The completion of it is almost completed. Been a wonderful project. I actually took a shower yesterday morning. Had enough water pressure to continue my shower with the dishwasher running and something else. So it's been about happy to have a booster pump running. We've had that. And then also, everybody's aware of the Monroe fire last fall, summer. But relatively close to this neighborhood, and if the prevailing winds would have dropped down into there, we would have been devastated by it. Now, didn't have any fire protection at the time, but now with the fire protection in place, because of this project that's been ongoing, has been a dramatic comfort zone for all of us. But definitely appreciate the board approving the project in the previous, and just like to continue with the shortfall, and Parker will go over the shortfall and the needs for the funding.
Okay. And I'm Parker Versamack with Jones and Mill Engineering. So if you'd like, I could speak to the reason for the request, if that's pertinent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So as Shannon pointed out, we are nearing completion. We did a final walkthrough earlier this week, and we're just moving into the punch list items and working towards a final completion. We've been working with the contractor for several months trying to dial back the budget and get back within what funding we had. The biggest issue we've ran into is, Shannon kind of alluded to, the replacement of the water lines in Lizard Bench. Austin Special Service District took on and allowed this existing water company to annex in, and they, they kind of took them on. If you recall back a few years ago when we presented the first time, Lizard Bench has a failing water tank that at times has been covered with tarp and ag bag, and trying to keep the rainwater and snow melt off of it. And the system itself was 4-inch PVC glued pipe, no tracer wire, no corp stops on the service lines. The biggest trouble we've had in the whole project was replacing or installing the new pipeline through this area without damaging or taking the existing line out of service. The contractor spent a significant amount of time both trying to locate through potholing and exploratory excavation this existing line, and then also repairing it when they did damage it or break it. And not only did that cause excessive costs from a exploratory excavation standpoint, but also several thousands of dollars in repairs and trying to patch that system back together temporarily while we could get the new line installed, pressure tested, and then cleaned so we could put it into service. So it's also extended out the construction duration several months. It's put the contractor in a bind on his end where he'd planned for other projects, and then we kind of got into these scheduled delays working through the Lizard Bench area. So with all of those, cumulative effects, we're short about $190,000 right now. That does include a little bit of contingency. While we're working through the punch list items, we're hopeful that
At this point, the expenses are essentially done and that we won't need that contingency, but on the off chance that something unforeseen comes up, we felt like we should probably include a little contingency still.
So. Commissioner, how much was your contingency?
So we've asked for just shy of $24,000, so about 15%.
In your original grant?
No, that's in the supplemental. In the original, we were around 20% contingency.
How much money was that?
I'm not sure I have that exact number off the top of my head, but it'd be around $250,000.
And you've used it up?
We have. Yeah, so we had originally hoped and intended to come down one side of State Route 118. It was a cleaner shot. It would prevent us from having to do a bore. We designed it both ways and had contingency to plan for that, but that ate up a significant portion of the contingency when we had utility conflicts and were forced to bore underneath the highway and come down the other side. We've had a few other overruns, some asphalt repair overruns and other typical overruns for this nature of project that have soaked up that contingency, and with the added exploratory excavation, that's where we're seeing our overruns beyond the contract amount.
What percent was your engineering cost?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but typically we try to stay in that 17% range.
Thank you.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve as requested by Commissioner Brown, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Discussion?
One other question. We talked about your water rates last time you came in. Have you raised your rates?
We had it. At the beginning of the we did raise them and set up on a tier level. Previously, we didn't have a tier level, just a base rate for a lot of water. We reduced that to a 10,000 plus a tier rate on top of that. And expected another rate increase probably after the project's completed. It may be in the future, but we don't want to jump to at this current point. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll call for a vote, please.
Do we need a exemption for that, or just carry it forward the same one as last time?
I don't think we have one from last time, do we?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we would
hardship.
Have had to. Yeah.
Financial hardship.
Okay.
Treasurer Flaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, up next we have the Tickaboo Utility Improvement District. Any members from that project? Welcome. Love Tickaboo.
Well, you know where it is, so you're one step ahead.
Yeah.
Excuse me, do we need to vote on this? Where it's a special?
Do we have a motion to...
I'll make that motion.
...hear the Tickaboo project? Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Welcome.
Aye. I'm not sure what just happened.
Oh, we needed to make a motion to put you to entertain your project.
To hear you.
Oh, okay.
It's a good thing.
Okay. My name is Alexa Wilson. I'm trustee for the Tickaboo Utility Improvement District. Usually we just call that TUID. And if everything goes according to plan, John Motley is on via Zoom. He's our manager. He can probably, he is in Tickaboo. He probably did the meter reading earlier this morning. He can answer technical questions that I can't answer. So we are a very small utility. We serve one business and 70 customers, and we're 60 miles away from the nearest grid. So for power, we run exclusively on generators. Back in 2013, we received a loan, and thanks for that. That saved our butt because we had environmentally non-compliant generators that we were not allowed to run for very much longer. And with that loan money, $600,000, we bought two generators. And they have served us well. They run all the time. We have one smaller generator. Now, there are two things happening simultaneously. One, the medium-sized generator caught fire back in June, which necessitates repairs that are about as expensive as buying either a new one or a slightly used second-hand one. And the insurance, our insurance is going to cover some of that. We have run the whole summer minus that generator, and it worked just fine, which means that we were already overpowered with the generators that we have. The other thing that happened is that we have been looking into ways of reducing our costs, because diesel costs 40 cents per kilowatt hour produced. We have been talking to a private company who may be willing to enter into a power purchase agreement with us that provides that same power at 20 cents per kilowatt hour, give or take. We haven't negotiated that out. So we have a situation where we got a grant to buy generators, which we did. They run at 40 cents per kilowatt hour, and we now can get power for 20 cents per kilowatt hour. So it doesn't make financial sense to spend our money on replacing or repairing the damaged generator. Now, our loan contract says that we should maintain our system in such a way that it keeps generating revenue so we can pay back our loan. Now, I'm not sure how that works in terms of our grant contract, but since it doesn't make financial sense to replace our generator, maybe we can think of the system that we're supposed to maintain as not the actual machines, but just our capacity to serve the public with affordable power, in which case we can just not replace the generator that we don't need and rely on the solar-generated power that we'll get through a PPA. And my request here, and I don't know what the procedure for that would be, is to accept that definition of the system, or if we need a bond attorney to look at that to see how we can make that work. So it's kind of fun.
I just want to help the board understand, because on the bond side of this, I reviewed the bond, as did Ms. McCarrick, and the bond says that the loan payment, the concern for the board was that there would be a default on the loan. There won't be. The board can approve the continuing of payments from their, what you're here for is to approve their decommissioning of the generators you purchased, but I just wanted to reassure the board that's okay, because the revenue pledged is from the system itself and not from the generators. So if you approve, what you're here for today is to approve the alternate form of electrical supply, which will continue their ability to make their payments on the loan that you have with them. You could ask them to pay off the loan as this is decommissioned, but I don't suggest that. I think the payments will continue. But it is up to the board, and it needed board approval. Staff could not approve that decommissioning and change of revenue source.
And to be clear, we haven't entered into a PPA contract with a provider yet. I fully suspect that that will happen in the next 2 months, but you don't have a contract until you have a contract. So if that doesn't happen, then of course we're going to replace the generator and make sure that we're up full capacity.
I have a question when you're ready.
Yeah.
What's your backup power right now?
It's all generators. We have 4 generators, 1 small one, 2 medium ones, 1 large one, and one of the medium ones is out of commission. So right now it worked through the summer, and we still have generously enough capacity, but if all generators go out, there is no backup. That's it. We run on generators.
So
What are the generators running on? What kind of
diesel.
Okay, I have some questions too. So the intent would be to sell the good generators?
No.
Oh, so you're going to keep
those? No, because the power that is going to be supplied from the solar panels and the battery is expected to cover about 85% of the current load. 15% would still come from the generators.
Okay.
And that would give a good margin for many years of growth.
Mm-hmm. I see. So the intent is to keep the 3 good producing generators.
Absolutely.
And that would provide a base load for your power, because solar, you know, doesn't provide that. And there's no base load generation coming from the solar power, right?
No, the way it's going to work is that the solar panels feed the battery, and if the battery gets too low,
then the generators kick in to feed
the battery to make it through the night or the winter.
Yeah, okay.
But so just decommissioning one?
Yes. Okay. Just the one that decommissioned itself.
Question, Mr.
Chair. Yes.
You mentioned you won't be able to run the diesel generator for very much longer. Is that a Division of Air Quality order?
That was back in 2013.
When
we had environmentally non-compliant machines that we weren't able to run for very much longer, which is what got us in front of this. Well, I say us. I wasn't around at that time.
But it was the old mine generators?
The old mine generators.
The loan replaced them.
Yeah. They were replaced, and we're currently running on Tier 3 generators, which is okay because they were up to standard when they were put in.
So the generators that you have are permitted by Division of Air Quality?
Correct.
Right now. Thank you.
I would move that we approve. I don't even know what we're approving. Just
decommission.
The decommissioning of one of the generators, but a continuation of payment on the loan. So I would make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion made by Treasurer Sloss, seconded by Commissioner Winfield.
For discussion's sake.
Yeah.
This was 2013, so we're 12 years into a 30-year payment. Is there a reason that you wouldn't pay it off?
It's a loan, and we signed for it, and unless...
I mean, as a condition of the decommissioning?
We're obligated and fully intend to pay off the loan.
Okay. Well, they don't have, they're not selling any of the good generators, so they're not getting, like, a windfall of cash that they could use to pay off the loan.
Just the insurance.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
I would like to thank the board for being the ones to approve this, because it's important that you're aware of the things that you fund. So thank you, Treasurer Slaw, and Commissioner Winfield and board. Treasurer Slaw?
That's a nice thing Candace has ever said to us.
Well, I got here.
Tickaboo will have to come up more often.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And just as a note, I adore this board. You do.
Okay. Well, I'm not too happy with you all, and I'm happy with you either.
Thank you.
Thank you
for coming up.
Thank you.
Up next, item 8.2, we have Monroe requesting a $735,000 grant for an emergency water project for a new well subsequent to the Monroe Canyon fire. Any representatives from Monroe, please come on up. Oh, we need a vote to hear. Is there a motion to hear the project? Made by Commissioner Miles, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. All those in favor say aye.
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 Welcome.
Welcome. I'm Mayor Parsons. Appreciate the board giving us this opportunity to present this to you. As you probably all know, we've been devastated by a fire. It's probably impacted Monroe in a lot more ways than anybody else, in ways that we probably didn't anticipate. We've been worried about mitigation of runoff and stuff, but now something to do with culinary waters come up. Our cold spring, which was producing around 250 after the first heavy rainfall, went down to 50. And our spring was our main source with a well as a backup. So now we're on the well almost totally with no backup. So we've been instructed more or less that we need to get a priority going of another well. And this is totally something that was not anticipated and planned for. But it's a very high need as far as culinary water for our community. We've already, as far as the fire, we've been impacted with mitigation stuff financially very heavy, and I anticipate it to be worse as time goes on. We've had one of our hydro pickups burn up that we've got to repair. We recently purchased a track hole because we have so much stuff coming down hitting our diversions that we have to keep them clean. There's just a lot of stuff that we didn't plan for that we're shelling out money for now. But this has become probably the high priority of all the others because of culinary water. And I entertain any questions, or if he's got something to add to this. It's just something that we really didn't plan for and didn't plan on coming up here for.
Mr. Chairman, just a little more added information. The county's also spent days with the equipment up the canyon trying to assist Monroe as well. So
absolutely,
there's skin in the game.
County's been super as far as we've got the overrun that goes in the waste ditch. We've got multiple bridges, and the county's helped us put K-Rail and sandbags at all them, so we're prepared. We've actually made a diversion up at our diversion where our pond is, that if it gets bad enough at the diversion, we can breach it and just run it out through the waste ditch. So the county's been very helpful in trying to help us get prepared for what we don't know.
All total, between the well and the spring, you said the spring produced 250. What does the well produce?
It's running at about 1,200.
So what do you figure your loss is, 250?
So for sheer production, we're out the 200 that the spring's reduced. But from a water rights perspective, it's quite a bit more complicated than that. 25% of the city's water right lies at the well, and the other 75% of their water rights is from the spring. So in an emergency, we're hopeful that we can at least get through this year without being in breach of the water rights and overrunning the well. But in the future, that's a big issue as well. So through the project, we do intend to coordinate with water rights and get the water rights situation taken care of so they can divert their water from whichever source they need to.
So is there a chance that I know you can't predict what you'll get out of a well, but do you think you'll get another 1,200 out of a new well or not?
Given our conversations with John Files, our hydrogeologist, he's not that optimistic. He's pretty confident we can get close to 1,000 gallons a minute. We're going into it, with the hopes of between 750 and 1,250. That'll be one of the first steps we do as we move into this is do the formal hydrogeologic study, get a well design, and iron that out. There is some hot springs just on the hill above Monroe, and so there's questions about water quality.
Sure.
We don't want to be too close to the existing well. It'd work in terms of, if their pump went down in the existing well, we'd have another one we could draw from. But if the aquifer was ever contaminated, then we'd lose both. So we're trying to iron out both. And again, where this is an emergency, it's we've master planned in concept the need for a second well. We did the master plan 2 years ago. We finished that up. Monroe's been aware of that and been trying to jockey funding and planning. And there's a lot of other improvements that need to come with that. But as their springs have been compromised, with these debris flows coming down, that's kind of spurred this to the front. Mm-hmm. And so we've split this off of their master planning list, pulled this out in the front. And we're hopeful to do kind of a three-prong approach on the project. So one, we need to drill a new well and get that equipped. And then we also we do want to try to redevelop the existing springs. We don't have a ton of money allocated for that, partly because depending on how and where the debris and the mud is plugged up the aquifer, it may be futile. So we do have a few ideas, and this spring's a little unique. It's already under the direct influence of surface water, so they do treat the water. So it's not like a typical spring redevelopment where we're trying to get the surface water away from us. In this case, we want clean surface water to still come in and be collected. But then the third prong would be to build their resiliency in case of a disaster. So we are asking for money for a generator, and then also to purchase an additional pump that they could house in the short term at their existing well. The lead time on their pump's about 4 weeks. So if they were to have a pump go out, they'd be 4 weeks just on the 50 gallons a minute water. If the motor goes out, they do have a spare motor on hand. So we're just trying to help them, mitigate whatever, cards come their way in the future and just be prepared on all fronts.
Best case scenario, you drill a new well, that could possibly even help you with future growth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing, the current well that we have is pushing 50 years.
Yeah.
But we've always just been so reliant on Cold Spring.
Right.
Because it's just been such a great producer. But just like overnight.
How many cabins were lost in that fire, do you know?
14 structures, 10 of the cabins.
Wow.
Yep. All right, how about a motion?
I'll make that motion. Approve as requested.
Motion made by Commissioner Brown, seconded by
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Exemption.
Isn't there a special emergency?
Emergency response.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yep.
Okay. All the call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes, and I'll say that I think this is the projects that we are designed for.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Excellent.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I make a quick comment? So this is not a critique of Monroe or any community that relies on wells, but my role in the state is like thinking great big picture about how all our various different policies and pieces fit together, and I really worry about all of our communities that rely on groundwater as their primary water source, because I feel like the science is showing that we're not recharging our aquifers at the same rate that we're depleting them, and I just have this anxiety that we're going to have all of these communities that are going to find themselves in really, really troubling situations if we run out of groundwater. And so I don't know what, you know, there's no action for this group, but it's just something that I worry about a lot. And I just, I think we need to think about that. And I don't know what solution there is, because you got to have water, and you know you got to rely on whatever source is there. But it's just a big worry that I have in the back of my mind for a lot of our communities. I just worry they're going to be in a really tough
situation.
Laura,
you need to make that speech to the Colorado River Authority. That's a big discussion to have about how much the upper basin and the lower basin compact.
It's hard. I just don't want to see a bunch of Utah ghost towns, because all of a sudden the water runs up, and it just makes me really anxious. I don't know what to do about it, but it just makes me nervous.
I think you have to have that discussion with Wasatch Front communities as well, Bruce, because they're pulling 280,000 acre feet out of the Uinta Basin.
Yeah.
To keep
Is that out of Colorado River?
That's the
well.
Colorado
Through
River.
Strawberry
yeah.
to the
so
that's the Central Utah
we can
project.
We continue to grow unfettered on the Wasatch Front, which ultimately leaves rural Utah without water.
Yep. It makes me
really
nervous.
Or no opportunity to grow.
Yep.
For the record, I am cooking up a project idea, and I'd love your input on it, where, you know, people always say, well, how much can we grow as a state given our water constraints? And we've never had an answer to that question. We've always been we'll just make it do, and the population projections go out based on births, deaths, migration, and say that we're going to have this many people. And then the Water Conservancy districts say, hey, Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute, you tell us how many people are going to be here. We'll figure out how to design our system to deliver the water to that many people. But there's no consideration of the natural constraints on water into that whole equation. And so I'm trying to bake up some sort of project idea where we can, with a lot of assumptions, answer definitively the question of how much will water constrain our growth. And maybe it's, you know, a couple different scenarios, like if our climate becomes more arid, and we develop in this way, here's what you get. If our climate stays the same, but we develop in this way, here's what you get, and just kind of show us some scenarios and options. Anyways, it's something I've been thinking about. It's sort of a high level, and
Laura,
I don't know.
Thing that worries me about this whole discussion is you've got cities, conservancy district, or whoever, going out and buying agricultural water and putting farms out of business so that they can use that water for municipalities.
To grow.
And
to grow.
And someday, M&I. We're going to have no farms. We're not going
to
be.
Well, and just to counter that a little bit, Bruce, a lot of that land that was farmed and irrigated is now in houses. And they moved that water somewhere else.
Yep.
And realistically, We did a moratorium on new connections for Active Valley Water and Sewer because we're out of water, and we're asking for the farmers to kick into it. If we doubled our population, we'd take 6% of their water over the next 30 years.
Right.
Which isn't, when you go to do it, it's one of those, and I get it because I'm a farmer. I have water rights and share right. and irrigate and do, but you also got, where do you sit for growth? And that's yeah. one thing that's happening in Ashley Valley. Well, where are we going to go for growth? If we don't have water, we cannot, get permits for culinary connections. And railroad coming in, that's a big, big issue.
It's a tough discussion to have. I'm a rancher. I want to stick up for agricultural water rights. But, people want to purchase those so they can have drinking water.
Plus, want to stick up for our
food production.
I was going to say, I'm so sorry, Curtis, for the diversion. But
yeah, I just want to know if Bruce can see the Great Salt Lake from Monticello.
I used to until it went down so far. I can barely see the Colorado River up in Jacks County.
Well, I'll keep you all posted on this study that I'm baking up and ask for your input in it offline, but I wanted to share just some big picture thinking and worries sure. that I had, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are moving on to item 9, which is board member discussion and or action. In item 9.1, we have a presentation and approval for the Utah Project Portal. So I'll welcome gentlemen from R6 up to present on the Utah Project Portal. Welcome.
Thank you. Let's see. Yeah, if you can promote me so I can share my screen, that'd be great. Yeah, what about that? Set me up here all by myself. It's all right. It'll be okay.
Hey, Travis, we've seen the kind of fish you catch in Alaska, so we know you are advocating for lots of water.
We are, yeah, 100%. The project portal will fix all of Utah's problems.
There you go.
There you go.
Good.
Global warming.
There you go. Okay, you want us to just give an overview? Okay. So just as a reminder, this is the Utah Project Portal. This is what CIB, you funded a pilot of this and then provided some funding to customize the portal for CIB's purposes. All that has been fulfilled and the product is complete as far as what we've come to you for previously. So right now the portal has entities already input. You can go in and enter projects. You can see the current CIB list. You can see 5 years of data back for CIB. Basically, we're ready to rock and roll for CIB list collection next year. And we'll help with rolling that out with all the AOGs. As far as next steps, future developments, et cetera, it really depends on what CIB wants to do with the portal, right? And we've had some of those conversations with Candace and staff. There are other capabilities. We can build it out to do the application. We can build it out to do the CASI, the tool, et cetera, right? Trimester formatting. Obviously, nothing comes free, but those are things that could be built out. If you want me to show you some of the capabilities that are built in already that we have, that have been funded and that will be utilized in the next year, I can do that. So this is the main page. If you click into projects, you can see all the projects in the portal. And so if we wanted to filter for CIB, we would just come over to this left-hand side and we can click on CIB. And for the 2026 year list, so this is the list that you're currently going off of, you can search and it'll pull up all the projects here that are in that list. You can search by different project types. You could search culinary water if you wanted to, as an example, and search that, and it'll filter out all the culinary water projects on the 2026 CIB list. And so that's how that functions for you.
Which are the proposed projects so on that's, the CIB list or from all the different AOGs?
Yeah, yep, that's this last year's list. And so you can filter by various different, you can filter by entity, you can filter by project type, you can even filter. So while this was primarily built for CIB from the beginning, there are other entities interested and starting to become involved. The Utah Water Infrastructure Plan, we anticipate will be on pretty quickly, as well as there's some other entities interested that we're still in talks with, and they may utilize that, and so there will be other filtering functions outside of CIB. But just going back to this projects list, if you want to have a different view, you can click in this tile view, you can click on this analytics view, and so this shows you the total cost of all those projects. So for this last year, your CIB list for 2026 for culinary water had a total project cost of $188 million. So you can kind of see how many projects you have, the average cost of the project, the total cost of all those projects, and where those entities think that money is coming from. And so of that $188 million, the culinary water projects that were listed on your 2026 CIB list, they thought that they were going to grab just under $145 million from CIB. Two parts to that, right? One, this is awesome that we were able to kind of break this down, but also you can see that list is probably not accurate because I don't think CIB funded $145 million in only culinary water projects in the last year, correct? And so one of the ideas behind the tool was to make list collection more accurate, and so that you could have a better idea of what's coming down the line. We think that in the upcoming year, if we could move to a trimester format collection, it would help a ton with accuracy on these numbers, and so you can see better.
That's the number that they anticipate from the list. Is there another comparable of what actually has been funded in this that you're speaking to now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the number on me, but
is it part of the program?
Yeah. So, you could search by past data. So there's 5 years of past data in the portal.
But even for this year, how current will it maintain? Like today's meeting, would that all be put in at some point?
Today's meeting is not input, but yes, at some point it would be uploaded. And so that. So each year there will be an upload, or if you wanted it more often, I don't know how that would look, but yes, we could upload.
You could ask staff after every funding meeting, they upload the new data or send it to the AOGs, and the AOGs upload it so it could stay very current throughout the year.
Or once all the closings have happened, at least.
Hey, well, if you've approved the funding, we would update the list to know that this has been approved out of everything that was listed.
Yes.
Because not everybody comes with the whole list ever.
The CIB application list is what you must be on in rule to be considered.
Understood.
On
but not
they don't all come.
Right. We see some portion of those.
Yeah. Like the one that dropped out today.
Well, no, even the wish list from the CIB.
Right.
Shay, can I ask you to pull up sort of a scary number? If you drop off the culinary water filter and then just search again, so these are all the projects that are on the PCIB list right now, so search again, $706 million in requests. We do not have $706 million. And if you scroll down to the little pie chart that shows the project types, it gives you a sense of what's out there. So majority is water, roads and transportation, public facilities, but it'll give you a sense. So as a board, we can look at this, and when we're looking at our agenda and we see something on there that, we're like, okay, this is an absolute emergency. I can see why we need to fund this. this looks like more of a nice to have. We can use this chart to kind of help us gauge how important funding a particular project is at our meeting, knowing the magnitude of the needs that are out there, if that makes sense. So
what I think would be helpful is if we could have a forward-looking perspective when we're considering everything in the first trimester, but if we know that there's some really critical projects that are coming down the pike, right, we may not want to fund more marginal, less critical projects, even if we have the money, because I think right now we're operating on, well, if we have the money this trimester, no matter how marginal, we're going to go ahead and fund it. And I think maybe a better perspective that the board should take is maybe a little bit of a longer-term perspective where we're not just considering what's in the current trimester, but what's also coming down the pike. And so if this tool can help us identify that and that can, you know, facilitate some of those conversations, I think that would help us make better decisions.
Just one more note. There's another filter that Shay can add, which is time frame. So we can see projects that are needed in the next year, in the next 2 to 5 years, and then in the next 5 years plus. Everything you see on the list right now is needed in the next year.
Yeah, and so, and another piece of it, so I actually just added this trimester filter. And so when the list is collected by the AOGs, they list out when they anticipate to come to CIB, what trimester they anticipate. And so that's already in here as well. And so down on the bottom left of your screen, it says CIB application trimester. I just clicked on October, and so you can see that in October, that's what the 2026, these are the numbers for the 2026 list, so this last year's list for just the October trimester, right? And so if we shifted to a trimester format where lists were collected by trimester rather than annually, and we feel like we could get more accurate data from communities by doing that, just because they don't feel like they have to throw everything on board once a year to be eligible, right? They're only a few months out. If they can add a new project every few months, you can still see what's coming, but you don't have those wish list products. And then you can come in here and filter by this, and you'll have more accurate data is what we would think. So,
I'm a little behind here. Are we talking about the port money that was set aside for a coal port? Oakland?
No.
We're just talking about prioritizing a project list?
Yes. Yeah, just regular infrastructure projects throughout the state.
What happened to the coal port money?
It's still there.
It's still there?
Yeah.
Nothing happened to it.
Okay, and...
It's not through this. This is the project portal.
Yeah, don't let portal throw you off.
Well, it's easy to throw me off it.
You stick by me.
Yeah, just to highlight again what Shay's saying, we would really recommend to the board that you consider allowing projects to be added to the list on a trimester schedule. The reason why these numbers are so high, as you already indicated, is it's a wish list. Every mayor, commissioner in the state, because you open the list once a year, they have to throw every project on the list just in case they have to go to CIB in the next year. So the data will never be good and never be accurate. If you'll open that list 3 times a year on the trimester schedule, then there's not that fear of, oh, we got to throw every project on there, and you'll have much more real.
Because they can only do it once a year.
Under the current statute.
Throw every possibility they have.
Correct.
In there, because if they don't get on the list,
then they can't come.
They have to wait a year.
So we would recommend changing that.
They put all their wish lists on there instead of their realistic list.
Yeah.
At the same time, if there's a critical project that's coming down the pike, I don't want to wait until the last minute, especially if it's a large project, to put it on the list. Like I'd say, it'd be nice if we could get to a point where we're taking a more forward-looking view of the CIB funds, you know, and I understand that that's not going to be every project. We've seen today that there's even emergencies that come up within a trimester. Mm-hmm. So I understand that we need to be flexible to let people come in on a trimester basis, but I also don't want that to mean that, you know, large critical projects don't get visibility until the trimester that they want it to get funded.
Yeah. So
could I make another comment to that? Is
The other thing is, with the way the list is written right now, we can account, and as much as we want to control different things with trimesters and everything else, and I'm kind of calling BS on that idea, just to be frank, is the towns and counties and everybody that comes to us on the board already is doing their own discernment process on what they're going to come to us with from that list, recognizing the scrutiny it's going to get because of the lack of revenue and the way that they're compared to other projects. So there's some of that that's happening natively, for lack of another term. How much control we try to apply to it, to me, starts being a little bit heavy-handed, because if they're doing at least the thought process to get on there for the year, they're still doing a discernment of what they bring to us. So to suggest that all those are needs, or that all that they would come, to me is an assumption that's inappropriate or incorrect, or it's allowing for too much space in that assumptive. It loses its accuracy, because there's no way to connect. I understand what you're trying to do is to narrow that assumption down a little better, but I don't know that this is the way to do it right now.
Yeah.
Just not saying it's a bad project or what we're trying to do, yeah. But I'm saying let's not overkill it.
Yeah, and I can speak to that. I understand your concerns there. So I would agree that a lot of the projects that are in there are probably not going to come, right? We know that. We don't see them over time.
But they carry over from year to year.
They do carry over from year to year, and there have been efforts to try and address this, right? The CASI being one of them. I mean, staff could speak extensively to this. Our thought is long-term, if we can continuously build in tools. I mean, ultimately the CASI could be built into this, right? The application could be built into this. The tool could be built into this. All these components that you utilize to try and vet your projects and make the best decisions for the board. It's just informing you as best as we can. And then, I mean, obviously the communities have their own process, right? For example, I was in Mona City the other night at a work meeting with them. When this project started, I built out a CIP, an improvement list with them in a spreadsheet, right? And we've provided that example before. In that work meeting, we were reviewing the projects on their spreadsheet, right? And that's fantastic. And we brought up the project portal and I talked through demonstrating it with them and having them start to actively utilize that as we come into this next year where we'll collect projects. And they're really excited about it. But just to be frank, I work very closely with 10 of the 49 communities in my region, and some other guys on our team work with the others. Most of my communities are not even having the conversation of that CIP. They're just working with their engineer or their advisor, right, and throwing projects on that list. And so, but they do have more of a sense a few months out, right? And so, yes, we do want to see that long-term vision, but what's realistic for our small communities that we're working in the trenches with, we're just trying to implement that. And so we can kind of bring both sides together and come up with the best picture for you. Is it perfect? It's not perfect. But is it better? We think so.
As information, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought we were paying to get CASI involved in this. I thought that was part of it. It was one of the automatics.
Yeah. So
coming into it to help get those communities on board.
As of now, the improvement list is already built into this. The asset inventorying section is not. When a community does enter a project, they still have to verify that they have completed a CASI. Right, and that is part of the portal, and so they have their improvement projects, they have the CASI verification, but they do not have built-in asset tracking into this. Is that something that could be built into it? Yes, but that's a whole other build-out, right? It's pretty that'd be pretty complex, but we could certainly...
But it would be something that feeds this.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Winfield, will it require a rule change to open it three times, to lift three times?
Yep, it would.
I think, you know, the impetus is built in there. I mean, we want them to do some pre-planning.
Yes.
We want them to have a discussion with their road department director to say, what maintenance does this road need? When does it need to be replaced? What type of fix? So I think unless we force the issue and say it's got to be done once a year, we're still going to get half-hearted planning. That's my fear of moving to a trimester, because unless there's a flat deadline, you know, they're not having the internal litmus test discussion. So we have to force, there has to be a date, that's my opinion, that we have to say, no, you've got to do some due diligence here. Put your best foot forward and give us the best guess you've got.
A couple things to speak to that. I agree with everything that's been said. One thing we've built into this that I think will help all of this is it's under your direction as a board. This is all under your direction, what you guys want to do. But we've said if you are putting a project on the one-year list, you have to have an engineer's estimate, right, which is something new. In the past, that's not been required to be on the CIB one-year list. So that'll kick out a bunch of wish list projects right there. If they're not serious about it and they haven't been having those conversations, you know, and engaging an engineering firm, that'll kick out some of those, right, and help this data be even better. Number two, I've been doing this for 18 years. The real win is not this tool or, anything we're going to force the communities to do. I'm just throwing a plug out here. You all now know you have community advisors like Shay in your communities, right, under Laura's leadership at GOPB, through the funding at the legislature. This is the biggest change that Utah and CIB has ever seen and will continue to see. And so if we really want to impact planning for positive growth moving forward and to make a real change, that this is where the win is, because these guys are having those conversations you guys are talking about with the cities, the towns, the communities, meeting with Mona, doing a CIP. That's what's really going to drive better planning. This tool, I'll be honest, it's not going to solve everything. It's trying to help you guys make better decisions. But from a planning perspective, the real win is sitting right here, and we all should be grateful that we have these guys across the state.
Yes. What's been your interaction with other AOGs? Have you had any discussion with, five or six AOGs around the
seven.
State?
Yep.
Just as far as rolling out the portal?
Yeah.
So they're all aware of the portal. We have told them that we are speaking to CIB today.
Okay.
We also have conversations ongoing with UIP, Utah Water Infrastructure Plan, and others. And so, but as of now, they've all been told that official rollout and implementation with communities of the portal starts January 1st. And so we plan to, after today's conversation, and kind of given some direction from the board here.
So you're going to get input from them on any of what you're rolling out?
So they've already provided input on the build-out, just as far as, like, training and making sure that everybody's aware of how all the details function. That'll happen throughout fall and winter, and then we'll roll out in the start of the year.
Okay.
I'll just note that in my conversations, everybody's excited about this. Everybody's on board. They think it's a great tool. The one place where we've had a little bit of pushback is in the urban communities where, like, picture, I live in Mill Creek. The question is, should Mill Creek enter in every last sidewalk project that they need? And it's like, no. Only if you think you're going to come to the state for funding does it need to be in here. And then that raised a question of, well, maybe we should put all of our projects in, because if we can get state funding, then we don't have to fund it ourselves. And anyway, so that's where we've run into a little bit of a little hiccup that we need to work through. Everybody's supportive, generally excited to do this. Even the urban communities are excited about it.
So you're telling me to come to the CIB for funding, they've got to qualify.
A lot of
the urbans don't qualify.
Yeah,
right?
Our hope would be ultimately, as we've kind of brainstormed, is that the state would adopt some sort of rule that said, if you want state funding for an infrastructure project, this needs to be a prerequisite that your project is entered into this. We haven't gone that far yet because we've been sort of doing a proof of concept with it, but ultimately I think it would be nice to have it go there. But I'm super excited about this. One thing that I would love to have added into the tool, which is going to require some additional resources, and so that's something for us to discuss if PCIB wants to put a little bit more money towards this. But in our in our agenda, the tool spits out a little, I wish I could share my screen, but like if you look at the notes page, your agenda notes, on the right side, it'll have a little score that comes out of the tool, all that weighting criteria that we plug into the tool, right? Is it a producing county? How many, you know, what's the percentage of public lands, the population, taxes, BAGI? We could have that show up with each of the projects in here as well, and so that if you pull up a project, you can see how it scores against the criteria that we've identified. I think that would be a nice addition.
Yeah.
But that requires a little bit more resources to add that.
A while ago, the board suggested limiting what you can put on for the one-year list as three projects or four projects. Is that ever going to be a consideration? Because then it wouldn't be a wish list. It would be, we're ready. These are the ones that are ready.
Well, every community can't get three or four projects funded. I mean, that's already a pretty big list.
But you can only do...
The tool does require you to only pick one priority one. You can't have five, number one priorities the way that it's structured. Too.
Yeah, each tier, right? So Laura talked timeline earlier. So the one-year list, two to five, five plus, they have to prioritize within each tier. And so on their one-year list, even if they have... So they could potentially have five projects on their one-year list and only three of them are planning to come to CIB, right? You could still go in and see that, hey, Mona City has these five upcoming projects and they prioritize them this way and they plan to come to CIB for one, two, and five, right? You can see that in the portal already. So
can we get into the portal right now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's public. It's utahprojects.org.
Yeah.
You can go on and
planning resources
and look through all of it. You can see all the projects.
Just the URL, if you type it into your internet browser, utahprojects.org, you can find it. You can also find it from GOPP's website, which is...
That's what I'm on.
Yeah, so that's a longer way to get to it. So if you go to gopb.utah.gov, let me type that in so I can do it with you.
UtahProjects.org was the easy one.
Yeah, UtahProjects.org is the faster way, but you can get to it through the GOPP website as well.
From a big perspective, right, again, we want this to work very well for CIB. From a big perspective, one of the things that really drove us to even do this was the number of times you all in this room, including myself, have been to the legislature and said, hey, we need more funding in the state of Utah for infrastructure projects. And I've had the governor and the speaker and everybody look me right in the eye and say, great, we'd love to help. How much and what for? And we can never answer that. And that's why they're smart and they say that, like they're happy to help us, but we've never been able to really quantify what the true needs were in rural Utah. So we have to make sure, whatever we do, that we have good, solid data in the system so that when funding is available or we do have excess funding or we go to the governor or the speaker and say, hey, we need more money, and they say, what for and how much, we can say, well, great, we'll tell you. We'll show you here in the project portal. So, again, that's the drive we all need in the back of our heads is this cannot be a wish list, right? These need to be true, accurate, planned projects that are coming down the pipeline as much as we can.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
I think to go along with that, that's where our planners come in. I know my planner, I'm hammering on him all the time. All we want to see is shovel-ready projects, and you got to understand we're out of money. Are you willing to take loans? I'm telling them that all the time, and I hope that all of you are doing that same thing with your planners. So that we all are just getting these good projects that are coming in that are ready to go, that really need to be funded.
So what approval language are we looking for here?
Live and active for the fiscal year 2027 CIB application list. I'd like to have it roll out and be used 1 year before we add other stuff. I want to see what it looks like.
Oh, come on, Candace.
So, but there's no language needed for amending policies and procedures or anything like that.
Well, if you changed it to a trimester, that,
and I'm not saying we do that now. No, for right now,
seems overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, half a year.
for the board to apply.
Jack said spend.
Well, in terms of how to apply it, and, or what are we doing to ourselves in terms of helping it? If it goes into effect on the 1st of January, how much time are we giving our communities to live up to whatever rules, all of those rules are? If they've got to have engineer funds or engineer
plans,
then that changes a lot of things. Is that fair right now?
So, yeah, I can speak.
Can I put a comment in on that? Not to take away from Jack, but one thing that, as a mayor, we sit down, when we put together the 2 to 5, it's just totally a wish list. The 1 year is somewhat a wish list because we really don't know. We're just throwing things on, and if we don't, we don't get it. What if we went to where we could get in by trimester wish list? I know that's kind of due, but if they're really thinking they're going to do something, that'll narrow it down than just putting a sort of a wish list for the 1 year.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And it could, in other words, they can update that 1 year list every trimester.
Yeah, and I can speak to both points. So as far as preparation and preparing our communities, right, we already work with the communities on list collection. And so all the AOGs have somewhat of their own process and do it in a different way, right? For example, R6 does it through type form currently, and then we pull that into a spreadsheet and send it over to staff, right? So essentially, we would just be utilizing the portal with our communities. We're still going through the same list collection process. If we move to a trimester format, we're just doing the same process. We're just doing it a couple times a year rather than once a year, right? And so fully support the trimester format if the board would be willing to,
well,
to go that route.
Well, see, and that way we kind of eliminate some of these projects that just get thrown on that really don't. We're just trying to make a guess instead of something that really is critical.
I think there's value in that, though.
Could I propose a hybrid? Because it sounds like you guys would really propose that we open it up on a trimester basis to clean the list up. However, if it's a very large project, and I'll just throw a number out, like maybe 8 or 9 million or above, what if we limited those projects to coming on once a year? And then anything under that could still come on a trimester basis, but that would encourage the big projects to have a little bit of larger pre-planning. I just don't want to get surprised by a big, large project that's critical coming on last minute on a trimester basis.
And I agree with you 100%. Just so you guys are thinking the other side of this as well, all of the communities in Utah will be using this as well to plan their projects. So Shay kind of glanced over it real quickly, but every city and town has a list built into here, and so if the city and town and the planner and everybody, the AOG, is doing their job, man, I would hope those big projects have been on there for 5 years, 3 years, moving through the process. And so I agree with you. Yeah, we definitely don't want those just to pop in on a trimester schedule. I agree 100%. But my hope is we're all doing our job out in the world, and those have been on the list for a number of years, and so we should see them coming. They really only should be like an emergency if they popped on. But we would, again, we work for you all. So, yeah, if you want to do a trimester, great. If you want to do a hybrid, great. If you want to do it once a year for a year, great. We're just here to do what you want us to do.
And I appreciate that idea. I think there's, I don't know. For me, like working with the small rural communities, that's tough because we would fight for consistency over adding another complexity to filtering out projects for them just simply because it's tough to even just get them to put together their CIP rather than add an additional rule to that, right? If it was just built base into the system and it just kind of automatically does it, I think that I would be more in favor of that idea. But if it's something that we're having to push with our, like, little tiny towns, right, 100, 200, 300 people, any additional rule or item that they have to foresee, I mean, really, that's what we're going to be pushed. We're going to be the ones having to push that with them, typically.
Well, you can program that into the system, right? That it just
try
and put
that
a
would
large
be
project
the,
and
the
under a year, then it gives them a can't do it or something.
If you did go that route, that would be the preference. I don't know what that looks like as far as a development standpoint.
I've been on both sides of this. I've been on that planning side as the mayor. And these, there again, these planners, they take a lot of that burden off of you now. And they are planning with these communities a year out, 2 years out, 5 years out. And so the only time that you should be hit with a surprise is something like this with Monroe. It's an emergency. Everything else should have been planned out.
I agree. I think staff prefers to have a one-year list for the major things. We already have in place special consideration for things that pop up. Mm-hmm. And if we, I think we put the responsibility on the planners to work with the cities to look down the road. With most any project of any substantial, they know what's coming up.
When you say planners, you're talking about the AOG
yep.
planners.
Yep.
We've never seen earn their money.
Once a year, an AOG planner. They have so many.
You better call them. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that they don't really get around and do.
Yeah, and that's something we could address. So that's more of like a internal structure.
I might disagree with you, Mayor.
Then your planners aren't.
Maybe they haven't come to Naples, but we.
Maybe they don't like.
They come ours. We see them, and they do work with our communities, Dutch John and Manila. So I'm not sure why it's not happening for you.
And I haven't seen any of it.
So it's cookies you bake every time.
They like going to Spacian, I think, yeah. Flaming Gorge.
They probably just like Duchesne County better.
Anyway, that's my preference, too.
The 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay, so the approval language is what again?
We approve the use of the portal as the CID application list for the fiscal year 2027.
And we know what all the rules are that are assigned to that?
They're already there.
Yeah, if you want me to jump into it too, I think, okay, if we're ready to be done. But yes, your staff has full control of what can be collected in the portal. They have accounts, they can alter that. We can help with that. It should be fine.
It'll be just like it is now.
We don't require engineered numbers
right now.
That's what
I was about to say. So for CIB, if you don't want to require an engineer's estimate to be on the one-year list, which you currently do not, and it sounds like that's going to be the motion, then that will not be required, Commissioner. Nothing will change other than instead of having the list be on a spreadsheet.
If you want an estimate, but you didn't, right? You didn't think that was...
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's your prerogative. We feel like, again, it whittles out people that are just wish listing it.
Understood.
But again, it's up to you.
That's from your perspective.
Yeah,
understood and respected.
Yeah, whatever you guys want to do.
Okay, motion's on the... Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Are we going to require an engineer's estimate or not?
As of now, it's not.
We
for
currently
one-year
don't.
Project.
I think it's a good idea to get an engineer's estimate.
I'm in favor of it.
I mean, otherwise you're just shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
I think we ought to require an engineer's estimate.
Has that never been required
estimate.
Before, the engineering estimate?
Well, you have to get on an agenda.
There you go.
See, it ultimately comes.
It's already in place.
It ultimately comes.
Before it's on the agenda, it has to have an engineer's estimate. So before we consider it, there's an engineer's estimate included.
I just assume leave it alone
fair.
For right
I think
now.
That's fair because
yeah.
being in the building business,
it changes too much.
Yeah.
Asking people to pay that up front before they know they're going to have opportunities. I agree.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Educated.
That's good.
I didn't see any.
Bruce Kissy.
Gotta be quick.
Yeah.
Gotta be quick.
Do you want a roll call or you just want a voice vote?
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Excellent. Thank you for all your work. I think this is great for the state as a whole. You know, more data, better planning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
it
last.
May be on another agenda. We don't know yet.
Last item is scheduling our next meeting.
Nothing comes. And you can choose where if you want.
So we have
a November, a December, and a January.
Yeah, Thursday the 6th
oh, good.
Of November.
Then we would meet each of those dates?
No, you're choosing one.
One between November and December. Do we want to meet in early November or early December?
When's our next funding?
February.
What are we at?
Probably early December, huh?
Yeah, give some
December 4th is always a bad time for me, but if that's up, I'll try and do it remotely, but I will not be here.
We could do the 11th.
What?
No.
No, that's CERTA's board meeting.
Does it have to be the first Thursday?
That's always.
Fourth is better.
Oh, what if we were to meet November 6th and January 8th, and they'd be shorter meetings and get some projects in for
that's
consideration?
Not have it the 4th of December?
Correct.
Yeah, Jack's unavailable December 4th, so he's proposing Thursday, November 6th.
And January 8th.
And or?
No.
And?
Yep.
What day you say, Jack?
January 8th. Why can't we hear projects?
Well, you can, but you might only have three a meeting, and then you've traveled all the way here.
Well, then we can do a Zoom or something.
I won't be here for the January 8th meeting.
Just go to January.
Why don't we just get to November 6th and see where we're at?
Whether we need another one before the next funding?
Yeah.
My guess is that chances are likely.
Yeah.
Let's
do November
6th.
We can get into a big fight about it if we want.
I will miss
no fight.
Can we?
I guess.
You won't be here on November 6th.
But that's all right.
We could run down the liners. The guys have installed the liners some more. Okay. Okay. Thursday, November 6th.
Here.
So, can we have it somewhere besides in the city? If you have to come up around the point of the mountain, it's horrible.
Yeah.
How about Hawaii?
I'll make that motion.
I'm sorry. If we could have it done, and because you guys coming down aren't going to hit the rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
If we could have it in Provo even, or somewhere.
Richfield.
Yeah.
Or Duchesne County.
Heber.
You know, anywhere, but have to come around the point of the mountain is just, it's just a mad mess.
I mean, I'm open to it. I know we don't want to meet at the Capitol, I can tell you that much. But
I've heard about it.
It's very convenient for me.
Yeah, why not?
No parking.
I think Duchesne County is pretty central for all the board members.
Yeah, I like that one.
For you.
And staff.
Well, this isn't like a permanent change, is it?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No.
Not Duchesne.
It's only permanent. 2 hours. For everybody.
Not for me.
It's about a 2 hour drive. Yeah.
Not for Jerry.
Same coming around the point, but I do it. It isn't a big deal.
I mean, we
deal.
can do Duchesne, you know, in November, and then Richfield another time. They're both about sixes for me, both of those. So, I mean.
So where are we meeting in November?
Here.
Richfield's a 4 hour drive for me. It's more than good.
Right here.
Yeah. I agree.
Scott, you can ride with me.
Okay.
You ride with me.
We're gonna meet. Yeah, we're gonna meet here in November. It looks like. Does that sound good to the board? And then we can look at the calendar in January or something for some rural meetings.
Moab in November.
Moab.
What did he
call?
Moab. Yeah, Moab.
Moab in November.
We're too busy right now with elections. We don't need the stress.
Yeah.
There's no stress.
Come to Moab and run for office.
Yeah, that's
be
great.
In office. Okay.
November 6th here.
Yep, that sounds good. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you.